I cannot say why. On Calvary tree, my Jesus suffered for me. Oh, he loves me. I cannot say. Everybody, Jesus loves you. I cannot say why. Hallelujah. He loves me. I cannot say why. On Calvary tree, Jesus suffered for me. Oh, yes, he loves me. I cannot say. One more time. You love me. I can. Why did he love us so much, brethren? He died on the cross. He gave up thrones, heaven, kingdoms, for me and for you. On the cross of Calvary, the Prince of Peace himself suffered and died, that we may have life. I cannot say why. Father, I thank you. What great love! Say, greater love has no man than this. That a man should die for his friends. While we are yet sinners, he said, Jesus Christ came and died. And Lord, today we have life, eternal life, because of that death on the cross. Why did I marry such a great love? Such abundance of love. That God of the whole earth, the King of Kings, the creator of heaven and earth, should come and die for me, a poor, wretched sinner without hope. Lord, I appreciate all you have done for us. Give us grace, Lord, to live up to the expectation to be true ambassadors of thy word. Even in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We will speak bearing in mind that we have a marriage workshop at the end of this. So I may have to rush through some of the stuff I may say. But the reason we speak the word of God already said, is to edify one another, to teach one another, to support one another, to, you know, appraise our faith from time to time. So, you know, there are some goody-goody gospel from time to time. We preach of prosperity, goodness, this and that, and so on. There are times we say certain things that may pinch the flesh a little, that make you scream on your seat and feel uncomfortable a little. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to take it in good faith, knowing that the whole purpose is to make us better Christians. I was in a church one time, and this man was preaching a wonderful message on salvation and repentance and how to change, how to be a better Christian. And the whole church was so quiet. It looked like somewhere around towards the end, he suddenly flipped to prosperity, and I started hearing, amen, amen. No, God can bless you, amen. God can lift you up, amen. Everybody was now shouting. But when he was preaching of condemnation, of sin, of repentance, of changing, everybody was like, he's too hard on us today. So today, I may be a little hard, but not too hard. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? We are only doing this for one purpose and one purpose alone, that we can grow up better, Christians, and make it to the kingdom of God. Paul say, I run. Not as if I already attained, but I run looking forward, looking onto the cross, looking to that glorious welcome that Jesus Christ has for us. And whatever I have to do, pummel the flesh, punch it out, work it out, to get there, I will do that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So today, by the name of the Lord and by grace of God, we are going to speak on ignorant of Satan's devices. Ignorance. No, people have called me ignorant from time to time. So if you go check it out on dictionary, it's when you don't have knowledge of something, you are not aware, you are not up to date with the truth about that issue. Devices, this microphone is a device I use When I speak unto it, it magnifies my voice. If I move it and speak, nobody hears. But when I put it close to my mouth, it magnifies my voice so that you can hear me better. So when you are ignorant of the devices of the enemy, you might not know what he has in store. So we're going to go into that in a little detail this morning. Satan's advantage over many Christians are based on their being ignorant of his devices. Or, I want you to listen to that. Or willful disregard of the devices. You can be ignorant of the Satan's devices because you don't know. Or you can be willingly ignorant. That means I don't want to know. Whichever way, Satan will have an advantage over you. If you are well informed, you will not be caught off guard because you know his method. If you spread your clothes outside to dry in the sun, and suddenly there is a wind blowing and a cloud gathering and stuff, what do? You know that there is possibility of rain coming. You go and bring your stuff inside. You know that's a pattern. When in the rainy season suddenly there is wind blowing and cloud gathering, covering the sunshine that you was there a few minutes ago, you suddenly know, I better go bring whatever I sprayed outside. I better not go to the park and have that picnic I plan to do. I better not drive out because there is a storm coming. So you take warning. That is what pre-knowledge, understanding the pattern. So when you, a Christian, knows the devices of the enemy, you tend to kind of know this is the enemy at work. When he wants to take your victory, no, I'm not going to allow it. I know this is the enemy. When he wants to take your joy, no, I'm not going to allow it. I know this is the enemy. You are not going to allow yourself to be moved around. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Please help me open this bottle. Hallelujah. So we are saying here that when you know that this is the work of the enemy, when you are not ignorant, you will be better off too. You will know how to handle the situation better. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's okay. Thank you. Amen. There are many such devices. I want you to pay attention this morning. There are different devices the enemy uses. He used the devices of fear at times. I've seen people so fearful of their life that they cannot live their daily activities without some kind of doing something weird or whatever just for safe protection because the enemy is out there to kill me, so they are afraid. They go to their juju doctor, they go to this incantation, they do this, they sprinkle themselves with this. I had somebody, even a Christian, one day because so fearful, he was pouring anointing oil over herself and poured it, a whole bottle of it. I said, wow, that's not too much of anointing. And then he offered me some. Do you want that? I said, thank you, keep it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because of fear, we went somewhere and she was fearful. I've seen people stressed out. That is another device the enemy used. Talking to a lady a few days ago, I said, why is your pulse always 100 and something? She said, it was always like that. I said, well, say because I'm always stressed out. Is there anything you can do to lower your stress? No. She's now adapted to being stressed out every day of her life. Blood pressure out of whack and so on and so forth. I've seen Satan use jealousy as a device. You start jealousing your other friend or your friend or your other people, children, or they are doing better than mine. Or Joe has a bigger house than me and I have a smaller house. The wife is this. Jealousy comes in and with it comes all other evil work. Those are devices. I've seen Satan use the devices of bitterness. To the point of dying, I'm sitting by the bed of people. They call me, come and minister to this person who is about to die. I'm sitting in the hospital talking. And they are recalling things that happened 30, 40 years ago. They still have that bitterness in their heart. And they are about to go meet their maker. That is another device. Because you don't know the tricks of the enemy. Because you don't know the pattern. You don't know how he works. To circumvent you, to take you away from the blessing of God. There is another device the enemy used. The device of unforgiveness. That one is big among us. Yes, he did so much to me 10 years ago. He did so much to me 5 years ago. In fact, the other day he did so much to me, or she did. And unforgiveness is there. Do you know what it takes away from you? It takes away from your prayer. It takes away from your life. It takes away because when there is unforgiveness, God cannot walk with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These are all devices. There is devices of, I've named them, fear, stress, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness. I can name more devices that enemy use to hinder us. But today, we will discuss only one of those devices. And with this one device I've seen, and it is working very, very huge, even among believers. And that is friendship with the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friendship with the world. Let us quickly go first to James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Of all the devices the enemy uses, none of them is small. But one of the ones I see that is enticing and destructive to Christians this day is friendship with the world. And the scripture starts to read and says in James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulteresses, adulterers and adulteresses. That is both for the man and for the woman. People that, you know, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enmity, is the enemy of God. Let me first by saying, look at the word that James is using to address Christians. He's not writing to unbelievers. He's actually writing this to Christians. And he called them adulterers. And he called them adulteresses. If it is today, you call that in the church, that pastor, I don't know, sure. Too much name calling. What kind of man of God is that, by the way? Who will be calling people adulteresses, name calling? I know they're for this church, I'm moving. He addressed them in a harsh way to bring their attention to something very vital, to something important, to something that can destroy their relationship with God. He told them, when you are a friend of the world, you are not a friend of God. Can I hear that? Amen. If you are a friend of the world, you cannot be a friend of God. Pure and simple. Oil doesn't mix with water. Yes. It doesn't work like that. It can never mix up. So if you put two of them together, you can easily separate because it doesn't mix. The same thing happened with Christianity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A Christian cannot mix up with the world. I want to say that it is a subtle in nature and very enticing. It is a slippery slope once entangled. In other words, when you get involved with the worldly friendship, it is slippery. Slippery in nature, you just keep going down. And if you don't take care, you hit the bottom. And when you hit the bottom, you might be in the mud for some time unless you call on Jesus Christ. To entangle yourself will be very hard because of certain things I'm going to point out as we progress. And worst part of it is some type of Christianity that we see even in the church of God. You should even be careful in forming friendship with people in the church. Because some people come to church and they are not what? Christians. They are serving God with their lips, but their heart is far from God. And you say, well, I saw that sister in the church. I'm going to be friends with her. You guys keep going out. And it becomes an enticing spirit on your life. Degrade you and destroy you. They don't want to go to the kingdom of God, and they hinder you who wants to go because you do not know of Satan's devices. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch out, I say, for even some Christians who are not Christians. If somebody is struggling and fighting and making effort to survive, that's another thing. If somebody is just in the house of God pretending to be what they are not, the Bible calls them hypocrites. That is two-faced person. He turns his back, you see another thing. He turns his front, you see another thing. Those are wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of such. Don't associate with them. They have nothing to offer you in friendship, because they can only pull you down with them. Your duty is to warn them and to pray for them. You don't help them. You don't put pride and say, I'm better than you and you are better than me or this. No. It is our duty to carry one another's burden. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are different ways of forming friendship. Let's quickly go to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This statement agrees with the statement, show me your friends, and I will tell you what? Who you are. I can always say that anytime. Show me the people you go with. Show me your association. Show me the kind of friendship you have, and I can tell you who you are. You can't hide it. Have you ever seen an antelope walking with a tiger? No. Have you ever seen a hawk flying with an eagle? No. The popular saying that birds of the same feather flock together is true. Can I hear that? Birds of the same feather flocks together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Birds of the same feather flock together. You cannot be holding wage and then be entangling with any kind of association and call yourself a Christian. I'm going to come to a point later on down the line. You say, what is the importance of friendship? Kingdoms have been destroyed because of friendship. Marriages have been destroyed because of friendship. Your life saving has been drained out because of bad friends. You say, how does it happen? I can name instances if we have time. We don't have time, but let me give you an example. In the Bible, one young man inherited a kingdom from the father. That is Solomon's son. The elders of Israel came to him and said, hey, during your father's era, we have suffered. Can you reduce our suffering? Make it small. The burden is too much. The yoke is too strong all the days of your father. He said, okay, go, I will answer you in 3 days. The elders of Israel, who are true to God, who knows the word of God, came to him and said, answer the people this way. Tell them that you will reduce and do what you promise. That they are saying is true. Listen to them. Don't go another route. He said, okay, I've had your advice. He went to his friends, who doesn't know God. And they told him, go tell them that if my father, my little finger is bigger than my father's leg. In other words, if my father has given you 5 strokes, I will give you 25. If my father has taxed you, I will triple and quadruple the tax. Don't love them, show them fear. They will respect you from fear. So he said, okay, he went and told Israel, and what happened? They left him and the kingdom was divided. That is what friends has cost him. I've seen marriages go to pieces because the husband suddenly become friend with some people and they know they are having fun and stuff and say, you know, my wife did this. He said, if I were in your shoe, I would put this woman in her place. I would do this and do that, and this will happen. And the man went and did it, and the whole family went apart because of the advice of a false friend. I've heard women are talking among themselves. I've counseled people who say, where did this problem start for? Well, my friend said so and so. What did he say? He said, well, the man I told them about my husband, I said, if I was in your shoe, I would put that man in her place. I will show him paper. You cannot do this to me or do that to me. And you take the advice of friend, because some friends are closer than even brothers. And so they took the advice of a friend and went home and destroy their marriage. Some friends will drag you to investment that will destroy your life, if not for God's grace. Some friends will drag you to lose your job if you are not careful. Friends can have deep impact on your life. Guilty by association is what they call it. Based of the same feather fall together. That's why the Bible says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. But companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I know it will be quiet in the church today, but that's okay. Another day I'll preach another kind of message. Amen. 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 But I'm saying the truth by God's word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One friend that was a friend of mine suddenly started growing a long beard. What up with the beard, man? The thing was getting longer and longer. I said, well, I read one particular book, and patriarchs doesn't shave. Say, are you now a Hebrew, a Jew, or what? Are we in the days of Judaism? The wife doesn't want to kiss him again because the beard was scratching. It became a serious quarrel. Why am I saying this? Some great old men of God might be here and say, well, those are problems of the younger ones. I wrote here, I said ways of friendship. Books you read, even religious books, many mature Christians are guilty of this. They make friendship connection with whom they read their books. And before you know it, they start having that lifestyle. They start saying, becoming argumentative, because they read a book that's so argumentative. These are religious books. They start adapting the language of the author, method of doing things. They become mysterious because the book they were reading is kind of mysterious in nature. They even become demeaning. It starts shaping their life. It starts shaping their language. It starts shaping their ideology, until their original personality after Christ's nature is limited or gone altogether. So friendship is not just whom you go out with. Friendship is also people, some things you watch that start to affect your life, that popular TV show or whatever you watch that start to affect your life, the social media that we have today, and so on and so forth. I said, use God's word as a standard always. The music you listen, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the chat rooms, internet network, these are ways of forming friendship. Am I right or wrong? I'm right. You can form friendship through this, even with people you have never seen or will ever see. You form friendship with them on the chat room. They start affecting your life. They pass message how they live their own life, and you bought it hook, line, and sinker. And before you know it, you are behaving like them. Before you know it, you are talking like them. Before you know it, their way of life is already affecting you somehow. While I don't object to using these devices, remember, you are Christ's ambassador when using them. Don't lose your personality. Don't lose your identity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. These days, I don't ask for it, but because of school and stuff, I do have a Facebook. And from time to time, I click on them. And I can't believe what I see Christians doing in Facebook. Shameful, ungodly attitude, pictures, comments, ideology that is there and they have no shame. There are stages of madness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A time you see somebody, they start touching their ear like this and they control it as a stage. Then at time they start muttering to themselves. They control it. They talk and control it. They're still controlling it. Their family might not be worried. Say it's acting a little odd. Something is wrong, but anyway, time will take care of it. Then they start dancing on the street. They start dancing on the street. They start dancing on the street. Say, ha, this is getting to another level. But when you see the person go naked in the street, take off their pants and shirt and everything and run around naked with their clothes on top, that is when to go look for a psychiatrist. That's when you say, ha, this one has passed something else. When a Christian doesn't even have a common sense to filter what they broadcast to the whole world, when a Christian doesn't have a common sense to know that thousands or millions are seeing what they are writing and posting, and they come and post where they are doing jog show with their boobs and everything, dancing on this thing, half naked. Then, something is wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see some in tanker top, in half shirt, naked, like a $3 whore out there, and they are professing we are Christians and professing Christianity. What kind of Christianity is that? We are showing where you are drinking all your alcohol with your friends. We are showing where you are doing ungodly stuff with your friends, and you are supposed to be an ambassador of Christ Jesus. When you don't have sins to limit it, even to filter it or say, this one's supposed not to be broadcasted. What level are you now? You are now in the level of somebody dancing on the street, the madman dancing on the street, without knowing that they are naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't want to be too hard. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, it's hard. We just sang a song. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Some of these attitudes start by association of the people you align yourself with. I said in the beginning, it is subtle in nature. It is a slippery slope. You may not see it coming. You just, by hanging out with them, if I don't have time to do this, I can give you my own failures. Where I've made mistakes, I still regret till today. Part of it is when I struck friendship with the wrong people and didn't pull myself out quickly. And after some time, I start seeing myself, I cannot relate with God the way I should. And my identity starts getting lost. And before you know it, you have nothing to hang on, if not for the grace of God. So, please, brethren, check what you post in that internet. Even Obama, who I don't know his Christianity, even advised people, or is that there? One of the presidents was talking some time ago, he said, anything you post there is there forever. If you post it and tomorrow you want to run for Congress, somebody will go dig it up. Say, about 10 years, 15 years ago, he posted where he was dancing naked. Is that the man you want for president? Is that the man you want for senator? Everybody will say resounding no, and you cannot withdraw it. You did it, and then later on you say, well, God's grace and so on. Yes, but that thing will be there haunting you for the rest of your life. So this is where you have to be sensible. There are certain things God doesn't want in your life as a Christian. You shouldn't do it in the first place. We spoke of relationship and friendship. It's a shame when a man is going the wrong way and the wife is still sane, and you cannot run and cover your husband's nakedness by telling him the way you are going is wrong. And if he wouldn't listen, take time to pray and get your family out of that mess until it sinks down. It is a shame for a man when the woman becomes something else it should not be. And the man say, well, I want to get along with my wife. Honey, you just do what your own thing. There is nothing like your own thing in marriage. When you start doing your own thing, it's a big gap. And that gap will continue to divide two of you. There is nothing like anything my wife does will affect me. And anything I do will affect my wife. So, if your own thing will affect me, say in America we all have liberty to swing our arms, right? But if when you swing your arm, you hit the person in front of you, that liberty does no more apply. You can swing your arm, eh? Yeah, sure. But when he hits Joe in front of you or Deborah behind you, then better watch that liberty, because he may decide to swing and punch you back. That's what happened in marriage. Anything a wife does has influence on the whole family, and the same with the husband and children. So when you see any member of the family going off in a tangent, it is time to warn and pray and stand in the gap. It will start by ordinary body bodies, drinking partners, going to against partner, and so on and so forth. But you see the life of the people they are going with. They have destroyed their marriage. It's only a matter of time before yours is destroyed. I can guarantee you that. Go to evidence-based study. Why so many divorces happened? It is because of what evidence-based study is something that has been researched clinically and found that it has influence or one way or the other on this issue. Many marriages are destroyed because of relationship of friends. Without knowing it, you start listening to them. Without knowing it, you start bringing those ideas home. Without knowing it, the demon of Facebook and demon of Twitter and demon of communication and association will start to whisper things to you. And before you know it, you develop an attitude. From attitude, you develop a kind of action guidelines. And before you know it, it becomes your personality. And before you know it, your partner says, I can't live with this. 3-4 weeks ago, I was with people on the same counseling. These are not members of the church. What started it? The same thing. These are Caucasians, not members of this church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dangers of being a friend of the world. Number one is that you will be enemy of God. Anybody here who wants to be enemy of God? Anybody? Anybody here who wants to be enemy of God? No. But that is what God says. In James 4:4. Say, enemy of the world. Enemy of friendship with the world is enmity with God. One of the things that will happen to you when you start going out with people that is not of God is that you start developing a kind of blindness to the truth. Let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Quickly, please. Well, we are out of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Go down to 4. In whom what the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That is one thing you will notice. You will start becoming blind to the truth. anything they do, you cannot rebuke them again. Their actions become normal. Things that you used to clinch or feel affected that this is wrong, they start doing it. One sister gave a testimony, I believe some days or last week or one, say, my friends, seeing that my husband are not around, wanted to invite me to do the things they do. I thank God she has the ability to say no. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But do you know what I would do to those friends? Drop them like a bad habit. Amen? I will drop them. Because you may resist today. But tomorrow, at your weak point, they can say, it's demon using their tongues. I say, if I have time, I'll use myself as an example. The biggest trouble I've ever got into. And at times I cry to God after with fasting and prayer, and God is sitting there looking at me, saying, go on fasting and go on praying, until I'm nearly, nearly out of, and then he will have mercy on me. It's due to friendship with the world. They get you in trouble. And I've learned, said there are so many ways of becoming friends with the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Brethren. He says also here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unequally yoked. Let me tell you what yoke is. In this instance, you cannot yoke a lamb with an oxen. It is not fair to the lamb. And it is not even fair to the oxen. Their strength are not the same. Their way of behavior is not the same. Their way of action is not the same. You have to not only yoke things of equal nature, you may have to consider their stamina, their ability. That is why when an experienced farmer is about to yoke, they look for an oxen that and another one that has almost the same stamina, also the same height, so that the yoke does not bend the other neck or trouble the other one. The Bible is saying, using this wisdom of farmers, he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? And some people will say, well, my intention, as I've heard from says, I want to change them. Huh? I'm still to see any that's able to change. You don't change by going inside. You stand on a higher ground. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you see clearly what is going on, and that is how you can affect the change. You don't stoop down with the vulture to his own level in order to dig him to become an eagle. You can't do that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to be on a higher ground. You have to use wisdom. Somebody is asking, how can we win them for Christ if we can't make friends with them? If winning them for Christ is your primary intention, I say, then let your action and compartment among them set you apart. And pursue your objective. Hopefully, we can discuss this during the Bible study more next week. I would like to hear the input of people on this issue. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not, my brethren, I say, sell your birthright. And people have said, as Emmanuel, well, I have invested so much in this relationship of friendship. I will lose business connection. I will lose my status among them. I may become a social reject, as it is called. That is untouchable. I might become somebody that In place of work at time, they say, it doesn't, I've forgotten the fancy word they use, but something like, you don't belong, you don't socialize, you don't do this. God has called us apart for a reason. There's level of friendship. What if you have a kind of friendship that projects positive image of Christ to those people? And see how long it will take for them to dump you. Because they will. If that is your intention, project Jesus Christ to them. Be an ambassador of Christ to them. And see how long that friendship will last. Joe, I don't know kind of friend, man. That guy throws a bomb in our party anytime he's around. We cannot even do what we used to do when he's around. Man, we got to find a way to get rid of him. Some people actually got rid of me like that once. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Because you dampen it. But then what happens is that some of us become adapted. We become so same with them to the point that there is no more difference. I used to see a sister from 10 miles away or 1 mile away or whatever and say, that is a child of God. Today you can't. The language is not the same. The action are different. You cannot pick out Christians from a bunch of unbelievers. Not just sisters, brothers also. And the world is doing what? Watching you. Is that not the one that called himself a Christian? Is that not the one that called herself a Christian? That is Christianity, huh? One old man told me a story years ago. Say, these Christians got out of church one day after their midnight cry or night vigil, and they've been praising God all night, and everybody was happy, and they are going down, to home, and a bunch of hoodlums, small kids, were talking among themselves. And one said, you see those people, I want to be like them. And the other one said, don't mind them, they are all the same. So what do you mean? See, they've been praying through the night. Oh, I said, okay, I will show you. So he carried sand around to where the Christians are and sprayed them the sand and stuff. And he said the curse that was coming out of the people who have prayed through the night, the kind of language was coming. I mean, they called them from you useless, this and that, and that. And they used every kind of foul language and called them. He came back and said to his friend, didn't I tell you they are not different than us? We have to be careful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I say I'm rushing through this. I'm going to be done soon because I don't have enough time to bring it. Warning. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Can somebody read it for us quick? Just put it out there, please, for me. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Okay. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove. Prove. Look at that word. Prove. The process of proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Love not the world, he says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Plain and simple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just say hallelujah. Say amen with me. Amen. Amen. Okay, let some people know that I'm not alone in this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Need for balance. We are not saying you should consider others below you and be prideful. That's not what we're saying. Your intention must always be to present Jesus and let your character reflect this. Always draw a line and do not go into deep. Because the flesh has an attraction for the flesh. We are all human beings. If you go in with them too much, some of them are pretty nice. They are liberal in giving out, in helping, in supporting, and so on. But after some time, they will be friends with the flesh, but enemy of your soul. They'll be friends with the flesh. The things that the flesh desire and want will be supplied, but they will be enemy with your soul. Finally, what can we do to break the yoke of ungodly friendship or relationship? Amen? I rush through this as much as I can. I'm rounding up now. Let's stand on our feet, please. What can we do to break the yoke of ungodly relationship and friendship? The first thing you need to do is to resist the devil. Amen? Resist the devil. You have to put on the full armor of God in this world today. Like I've hinted to you, there are so many areas that friendship can develop. We talked of person-to-person friendship. We talk of relationship with your Twitter, with your chat room, with your Facebook, with your work, God knows how many of them out there, social medias, phone. You can develop friendship with people you never know. Of course, I shake people's hand and I welcome them and I chat to them. But if you have the spirit of discernment, you can see where they are coming from. And if you have to eat with the devil, they say, find a very long spoon. So that he's sitting over there at that side of the table, you are sitting here. If at times try to come on you, you have enough time, you have a start ahead to run for your life. Don't sit so close where he can grab you. In other words, use wisdom and draw a line. Know when to say no to this friendship. I don't care what benefit it may yield. And this goes to everybody, to the married and unmarried. Some young women have destroyed their life by choosing friendship with people that are not ungodly. They become unequally yoked with hope. I'm going to change him. You can never change him. If you can't change him when you are not married, you will not change him after you are married. Get him to come to Christ. And let him walk with Christ for 3-6 months before you say, I do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Count the cost. Another way to break the yoke of ungodly friendship and relationship is to count the cost. What is the cost? Simple and short, God said, if you are friend with the world, you will be enemy of God. That is the cost. I'm not going into detail. Become humble in your own sight. Be humble in your own sight. Many people want so much to belong. People want so much to be seen for what they think they are, who they are, that they are going to go extra mile to belong. Belong to what? What are you belonging to? There is nothing there that they have that you need to belong to. For friendship with the world is definitely enemy with God. For that, you have to go to James chapter 4, verse 6. We are not going to read it. When you become humble in your own sight, then God will give you grace to overcome this temptation. Finally, I said, aim high. I don't care whether he's a millionaire, a billionaire, or the most handsome person in the whole world. He cannot be as high as Jesus, who has called you, purchased you with his blood, and called you my friend. So I say, aim high. Any worldly friendship is low. It's nothing. It's not uncomparable with the friendship we have in Jesus. Choose God's friendship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry our problems, our trials, our afflictions, our limitations, our ups and downs to him in prayer. How many of your friends can help you in the time of need? The Bible says, vain are the help of a man, let God give us help from trouble. So if you choose the friendship of men compared to the friendship of God, when in the days of calamity, who will stand by you? So let us aim high and choose God's friendship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. As we intune this song, if you need a quick prayer for deliverance, say deliverance. If you're entangled in this kind of thing, we can do it quickly. If not, sister, please, will you come forward? I know you are going to have a surgery during the week, right? Somebody told me there's somebody that's going to have a surgery. I've forgotten. Is that you? Please come forward. We're going to pray with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear. Father, we thank you for the word. Privilege to carry.